Father, we thank you for this day. We ask your blessing on your word. Lord, I pray that what is of you would be like wheat, Lord, and that, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you would blow any chaff away, Father God, that is not of you. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you. Amen. Well, again, we're going to stay in Luke 21. I'm going to revisit verse 8 in Luke 21, and then we're going to be in Ephesians 6 later on for a while. But again, this is the words of the Lord. Take heed that you do not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he. And the time has drawn near. It's the end of the world. Therefore, do not go after them. Again, there's a lot of emphasis in the scriptures to stay alert, to pay attention, to listen, to watch, and to not only watch, but to watch and pray, that this should be a priority. If this is not something that we regularly practice, we may find ourselves going after something that is not of the Lord, just because it may sound good, it may look good. But how many of you know we have a Holy Spirit within us that is like a bell ringing that bears witness when something's true, right? But sometimes we don't pay attention to those things. And it's important that we watch and pray, that we are praying people. And also it's important that we hear from one another. I know even for myself, there have been times where people have wanted to put something on me that really wasn't the Lord. Like, okay, say for instance, you have to take all these vitamins to be healthy and to be following the Lord. And it's like, it makes it an idol rather than just a supplement to living a good life. Can somebody please shut those doors for me? Thank you. So, and it could be something like that. Holistic living, anything that puts itself in a position greater than Jesus is not something we should pay attention to. So we need to really protect the anointing. Each and every one of us has the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us has an anointing to complete the mission God has called us to fulfill a purpose in our lives. And in the scriptures, I believe it's in Proverbs, it says to protect the anointing. So when we are paying attention, when we are alert, we need to make sure that there's no fly in the ointment, so to speak, that there's nothing unclean that wants to integrate itself with the anointing that God has given us. And we all have something that we are called to, and a purpose there that we are called to. And may I say as well that watching is a lifestyle. Prayer is a lifestyle. Again, being alert, watching and praying is a lifestyle. Watching and praying is a lifestyle, okay? Now, let's look at Luke 21, verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be weighed down. And then it goes into being weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. So we see here in Luke 21:34, the scriptures tell us to be careful that our hearts are not weighed down. And for most of us, we're not out carousing, bar hopping, and all that. But we could be consumed by the cares of this life, right? And the cares of this life are like what we see in the scriptures when that seed was sown, that the cares of this life are chokers. They will choke the life out of you if you succumb to the concerns and the worry of the cares of the world or the cares of this life. And it says that those things come upon you unexpectedly. So you can't prepare for it ahead of time because you don't know when God is going to surprise you with a situation or a circumstance where you should have been alert, taking heed, paying attention, and protecting the anointing. When we talk about the things that weigh down our hearts, we understand that there are constantly all manner of distractions coming at us. We have information inundating us daily, through the media, through information, through, you know, the news and all that. We have distractions with our situations and with our relationships, right? And if our hearts get weighed down by the cares of this life in that manner, then we are going to experience anxiousness. We will experience fear. We will be discouraged, and ultimately stressed and depressed, right? And once you get to that state, it is a lot harder to come back from that state. So it's much easier just to stay alert, even asking God, Lord, help me to see what's happening, but also to pray about it. If you are just watching and not praying, you will succumb to the things that we see around us every day. We've talked about this these past many weeks about how wicked the world is now and how evil is increasing. And if we're paying attention to those things, we will be distracted and the life of God that we are gracefully given will be choked out by the cares of this world. Amen. We also have to understand that we are in a war, that we are continually being opposed by powers and principalities, that there are systems in place to break you down, to break down your life in the Lord. Now, I just saw on the news a couple days ago how a pastor was arrested for only saying out loud the scriptures in the crowd of the pride activities that were going on. I don't remember the city or anything. But, I mean, we know, as believers, we are to love the sinner and hate the sin, right? And the church has come a long way in regards to those things. I think we've really been inundated with compassion and mercy. But it's one thing to tolerate those kinds of things, and it's another thing for the world to tell you, you must celebrate sodomy. You must celebrate minors and other grown adults as if it's normal, or I want to marry my dog. I mean, it's absolutely absurd the things that are transpiring in our day. and in our time. And really, we need to watch, but we need to pray. We need to continue to pray. We need to persevere in prayer and not give up. And believe me, there is not a few days here and there where we succumb to the anxiety of life, the stress of life, the discouragement. I mean, just earlier, I was talking with Louise about, you know, being discouraged, you know, and a lot of times that happens when we are praying for something and it's not happening and you feel like it's not gonna happen. Well, that means you're falling into unbelief and you need to persevere. Now, this past week, we watched that Juneteenth movie, and it really showed the perseverance of those that were enslaved to keep on hoping in the coming of freedom in the person of Jesus Christ. Credit was given to Jesus about the freedom, not to President Lincoln or whoever the powers that be, right? And I will tell you this, that is one thing that I believe my brothers and sisters of color have more of when it comes to hope and perseverance because of history. And I feel like it is imparted to me when I am in their company. When I'm feeling down, I know, for instance, there are certain people that will continue to encourage me, like, but God's on the throne. Don't give up. Don't give up. Persevere. So perseverance comes with that prayer, right? And when we're in the discouragement phase, the enemy of our souls wants to tempt us into believing that God does not care, that he could give two hoots about your situation that you're praying for. But we know that we are to hope in God and that we are to radically trust him when everything seems to be coming down the pike in an opposite fashion, right? You pray for something or you have a great victory, and then like Elijah, okay, the prophets of Baal, they get, you know, everybody says the Lord, he's got it. And then Elijah's depressed, hanging out on the side of a mountain somewhere, looking for God, and he's thinking he's the only one left, right? He was depressed. Look, if you move in the prophetic, you're going to encounter that kind of warfare, unfortunately. And we all, as believers, are going to encounter that kind of warfare. And what we need to do is watch and pray. And if you're not in that kind of situation, and you're watching and praying, and you're doing, you know, you're really tracking with the Lord, and you're doing fine, then focus on other people and encourage those. Give them a ring. Send them a note. Give them a hug. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't take much, but we need to physically even manifest the hope that we should have in the Lord and the trust we should have in the Lord by embracing one another. And I mean physically. There's sometimes that, you know, I'm broken, and Louise has an anointing and hugs like nobody I know, you know, and it just, something happens to me and it just kind of quiets my spirit and quiets my heart. And we need to be physical with each other, even if it's a handshake. You know, the days of COVID being scary like that is over. So we can hug each other, greet each other with a holy kiss, like the scriptures say. But I think it's important just to let people know that you genuinely are invested in how they're doing, caring for them, and entering into that. You know, sometimes we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. And sometimes just having somebody listen is enough. And sometimes having somebody weep with you is enough. Sometimes just knowing that your situation is noticed by God through his people is enough to keep you going the next week. I mean, there are times like in my, I want to say past life, but in my past where I would just think, I can't do this one more day. And I would come to church on Sunday and I would say, okay, I can make it to next week. And I'll just have to do it one day at a time, you know, and we all have crisis and trauma occasionally in our lives where that's where we're coming from. And we really do need the body of Christ. We really do need the communion at the table with the Lord and with the saints. We really need fellowship. We need prayer. So if you're in that kind of situation and you're doing great, praise God that we're not all in at the same place at the same time or we'd be sunk, right? So like in one of my favorite scriptures is in Ecclesiastes where it says two are better than one. Because if one falls in a ditch, paraphrased, of course, then that other person picks them up and vice versa. And so I love that scripture. And it also speaks to we do things as teams together, two or more, when we are doing anything for the kingdom. Very rarely are we independent of, you know, other people and doing something on our own. We team up in almost every aspect of the ministry that goes on here. So, you know, when we get to that place where our hearts are weighed down, ask yourself, what do you do to cope? What do you do to cope? Now, you guys aren't out carousing. I know that. But there are believers that struggle with addictions. A lot of alcohol, some drugs. How about pornography, gambling? And those things are in the dark, okay? They are not openly confess, they are a weight that really weighs on the souls of God's people, and he really wants them free. And until it comes to the light, it has power over them. And so that is the case where we encourage people to, you know, go to meetings, go to therapy, go to the doctor, get prayer, all of it. Nothing is an end all, but everything helps, right? And God has given us a variety of ways to be healthy in our souls, in our bodies, and in our spirit. So how do we cope? Believers, I think, cope differently. For some, we discount our gluttony, our food addiction. We discount or minimize are watching TV or are shopping or whatever the case may be, right? All of those things are good in balance. When I'm tired and I can't do anymore, I really love to sit on my couch and watch TV, or I like to get involved with my artwork. It depends on how much energy I have. That is okay to a point. But if you are doing it to the point where you're coping with the stress of life and it's taking the place of the time you should be spending with the Lord, you have to ask yourself what is going on, right? It's a little bit of a red flag. So there are all kinds of things that choke us, choke the life out of us, just like that parable of the sower and the seed. Sometimes we're in a service and the devil is right there. You can hear the birds in the trees. And soon as the word comes forth, boom, it's snatched away from your heart because of what? You're distracted. I got my laundry list. I have to do this. Or, I don't want to hear this again or whatever. You know, this is a good word for so-and-so. Not recognizing it's for you as well. There are all these distractions. And so it's not just in our flesh that we can be distracted. The enemy knows just how to distract you. What's your weakness? Worrying about paying your bills, worrying about putting food on the table, worrying about the condition of your family and what's going on. And those things can choke the life out of you rather than watching, you see what's happening, and praying, investing in praying. And praying, when we talk about praying always, like in the scripture, it means a lifestyle, that it is your first place you go to when anything is going on. Whether if things are going well, it's the first place you go to in gratitude and thankfulness. And that keeps your heart really clean when we labor over situations or, you know, people, when we're laboring in prayer, to end with thanksgiving and gratefulness after we make our whole litany and come all the way around, it really does keep your heart buoyed up, so to speak, you know, lifted up. And so it's important that we maintain gratitude. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, my sister, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What this is suggesting here in the scripture is that this is something that you are unable to do yourself. To be strong, literally in the original, means be made strong, suggesting that we cannot do it ourselves. To be made is a work of the Holy Spirit. And aren't we all in this journey continually of being made? We are continually being made. We are continually transformed, being transformed into the image of the Father, Son, right? We are being made continually. And so that means we are growing continually, and that we are watching, and that we are praying, and that we are part of God's kingdom purposes when we have that kind of disposition of being made in that image and being made that way, that we are being made strong and in the power of his might. We don't have that power within ourselves. We cannot have pride in the things that we accomplish, even in our gifting. And I've said it before, you can be gifted and not be walking right with God, because his gifts are without repentance. You know, you have evangelists every Sunday getting up there, and how many have fallen? But they give good evangelistic message, right? But have no character and no accountability. And that's what happens when there is that lack of integrity with being transparent with one another. And you know, it's a sorry state for people in a leadership type situation when they don't have anywhere they can go to get well, if they struggle with any dominating sin, you know, whether it's pornography or gambling or whatever it could be. You know, how many have run off with their secretaries? Quite a few. So staying in fellowship and staying accountable to one another is a safeguard for all of us. Okay, let me read on here. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, let me describe to you what wiles means. The wiles of the devil, they are tricks, a strategy meant to fool you or deceive you, a trap to entice, to beguile, to tempt, and to lure. The enemy knows where your weaknesses are. He will use all of these wiles to try to distract you from your relationship to Christ and your relationship to one another. I mean, we can be tempted and lured away by even our own sin, jealousy, envy, pride, fear, unbelief, right? Okay, so going back to Ephesians 6, we will read out. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That means we don't wrestle against people, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we don't wrestle against people, but there is darkness. There are hosts of wickedness. What is a host? A host gathers, right? A host is the leader, the one who's hosting a party, or right? You know what I mean? So there's a host of wickedness. There's a lot of hosts of wickedness. You can't, I'll tell you, the systemic wickedness that we saw in that movie was a host of wickedness, a whole system that opposed a whole people group. That is beyond a simple demonic oppression. That was a system in powers and principalities in the whole culture that opposed a people group. That all happened as well when 6 million Jews were killed, or when Idi Amin was in charge. For me, Hitler was a host for wickedness, because a host of wickedness, it's beyond a human being's capacity for evil. It's turned into a demonic system or demonic force or principality or power. Now, we know anywhere you go, there are certain principalities in charge. You don't have to go far to know that even in our own community, there is fear, there is violence, there is drug and alcohol addiction, right? We are going to see, I was telling Pastor Jan earlier this week, we're going to see an increase of these things more and more, because the culture itself is empowered by wickedness and darkness in such a way that the church is going to have to really rise up and not just be, you're going to hell because you do this and that, but offering the gospel, which is a way out, a way of freedom. And that is the very thing that sets people free, is the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. You do not have to live with that abuse any longer. You do not have to live any longer tied to the bottle or the internet or whatever, fill in the blank. But that's our job as believers, is to present the gospel and the good news. And how can we do that if we are still in bondage to certain things ourselves? I would suggest you find some trusted person that you can maybe share anything that you're struggling with, and pray together. That's a good beginning. Okay, so our battle really is not with people, because the people are often very unaware of the fact that they themselves are doing this under the guidance of the Prince of the Air, demonic forces. People, you know, are influenced by all of these other components. And it's not necessarily something that they are aware of. As believers, I think we are highly attuned to and quick to see what's going on in our own hearts because we have the Holy Spirit to show us those things. Okay, let's go on. Therefore, take up the armor of God, verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So I'm going to ask Pastor Jan at the end to share a little bit about what she shared when she brought in the armor of God, you know, it was a couple months back. To speak into that, because I'm not going to get into the whole thing right now, but it's pretty self-evident, I think. But one of the things when we are told to pray always, as in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, is very important that we pray in the Spirit, not God, you know, send that person to hell or, you know, punish them or what, you know, sometimes that's in our hearts. We got to be careful, but pray in the Spirit. When you pray for blessing for those that have offended you, eventually you are going to have a different attitude towards them. You are going to love them in spite of whatever else, inconsistencies you may see in their character or whatever. We all have blind spots. We all have places where we're weak. And we were talking about this week. There were some issues in my life that I was very weak in, but I was very opinionated about. And guess what? I found out I was wrong. And you have to have that kind of attitude that says you're willing to be faithful, available, and teachable. You need to be faithful, persevering, available, and teachable, which means you have to have the ability and the humility of Christ in your heart, and you have to be able to say, I was wrong, right? Hard to do sometimes, especially if you're like me, and I am an extremely opinionated person. And I am much less opinionated than I used to be because it was like, oh no, you can't change my mind about this. Unless it's absolutes in the scripture, then you should be vulnerable to correction, right? About your perspective or opinion about anything. You guys got that? I think that's really, really important. Okay, so we pray always, which means praying as a lifestyle. We are to be watchful. We are to persevere. What does perseverance demonstrate? Hope. When we saw that movie, the perseverance continued. Oops, hold on 1 second. Honey, I'm in a class teaching. I'll call you later, okay? Okay. All right, later. I didn't know my phone was on. I apologize. Okay, where was I? It is. when you look at people who have gone through so much and persevered with a good, healthy attitude, with a heart of thanksgiving, they are light years beyond those that fall into the depression and that darkness, that black hole, and never come out, right? Hope is really important. Really, really important. And for those people who have gone before us or endured things that we haven't endured, and when we come upon that situation ourselves, they impart, by the anointing of their perseverance, hope to you. Amen? Okay. Now, Paul had a lot of time to think about the Roman soldiers. And that's because he was under house arrest in Rome, okay? And he saw them guarding every day, and he saw their armor and what made them soldiers, their clothing, how they appeared and all that. So when he is talking in the scriptures about the armor of God, this is what's in his mind, okay? Now, the soldiers, Roman soldiers, were girded with a belt that had leather strips to protect their lower body. So it wasn't just, like, if I think of a belt nowadays, it's just a belt that holds your pants up. Their belt was something that went around them and extended down to cover them, okay? If you look at some of those old movies, you'll see that in that image. The breastplate completely went around the body front to back and usually was made of hard leather or metal. But it went completely around. Wasn't just in the front. Went totally in there. So anything coming from behind them, they were protected. Their feet were shod with hard studded shoes. So my guess is they were probably metal, you know, enmeshed in the leather shoes. The shield was huge. Their shield, and when we look at the shield of faith, how important it is when we read these scriptures, it was 2.5 feet by 4 foot. That's almost as big as me. That's up to my neck here, right? And like here to here. That's crazy when you think about it. I imagine when they put their shields together, you know how they used to get in formation, put their shields together, that they really were a big wall of defense against the enemy. And when we pray corporately, this is exactly what happens. We are able to deflect the fiery darts of the enemy. We are able to not only deal with the low-level warfare that we all experience, but we are able to, as a community and as a body, we are able to deflect systems, powers, and principalities. Now, a side note, do not go after powers and principalities alone, ever. If you do, it will come back on you, the retaliation, and it's bad. I remember when Jim Murphy, years ago, was in Africa, and he said there was a tree that, you know, they believe in animism and all that stuff. And there was a tree that was a kind of a holy tree for their weird religion, okay? And a believer cut it down, and the believer died. So do you remember that story? So it's just a cautionary note. If you're ignorant and you just got born again and you start, you know, blowing up against the enemy, I'm sure God is going to honor that. You know what I mean? Because you're not doing it. But if you are feeling your oats, like you've got the power to do it all, but you're not relying on the power, his power, to make you strong, then you're going to get beat up. To say, we get beat up anyways in warfare. It's part of what we do. It's part of what we are walking in continually. We're going to do this till the day we die. We're going to be fighting until the day we die. And that's just because the enemy does not play fair. He knows his time is shortened. The Lord is greater than the army of Satan. You know, it is not good versus evil in equal parts. Good and God Almighty is triumphant and victorious compared to the enemy, whose only real power is the power to deceive. So you can see how this is a concentrated effort on the enemy to deceive people. And especially if it were even possible, the scriptures say, to deceive even the elect, those that are walking right and in the grace of God and in his righteousness and covered in the blood. The only reason we are not deceived is because of Jesus, because he is the embodiment, the manifestation of truth. Now, do you know, if you talk to people in our day and in our culture, people will say, I'm just sharing with you my truth. What does that mean? It's subjective. If people believe what they say and it's not right, it's still what they believe is the truth. They're believing a lie, but it really is their truth, but it is not the truth. It is not the truth as in the person of Jesus. But as long as they think that, they are deceived and they are unable to hear the real truth. So that's when we also pray without ceasing, watch and pray. Because it is so much in our culture now that truth is relative. It's whatever you believe. It's not, there's no absolutes in anything almost anymore. But we know in the scriptures and in our Christian faith, there are absolute truths. Truths that all believers adhere to. And you can see in our foyer, our confession of what we believe, right? Okay, so the helmet that the soldiers wore protected their head, but it also made them appear formidable and impressive and even taller. When they wore that Roman garb and they were representing Rome's authority, and it was daunting. The sword that the Romans used was a little bit different than the sword that Peter used to cut off that guy's ear. It was probably a fisherman's sword or something small. But these swords that the Romans carried were about 7 or 8 pounds. The blades were wide, and they did horrific damage, especially to internal organs. And when they used their sword, it was near impossible to not die. It was impossible to recover. They were designed for killing blows. They were designed to kill. Now, just saying that, we have to understand that the enemy of our souls is out to rob, to steal, to destroy, or kill. It starts out sometimes with just a little bit of distraction. And then you're not really in fellowship much. Look, we all suffered great when we had COVID and we weren't able to be together, even though it was online, it still wasn't the same as we have now with people being together in the same place, right? Like in Acts, devoted to teaching, devoted to prayer, devoted to the Lord in unity. So we know that the enemy is out first to rob you of your joy, rob you of your peace, rob you of your faith, rob you of your hope. And then he steals. He steals what belongs to you, the lives of your children, your finances, your health. I'm not saying that in the natural life that we live that these things don't happen. But sometimes the sickness or what's going on is directly linked to a demonic attack. And if you're praying and watching, you should have the ability to discern what is what, right? You lean on the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it is a tragedy when we see somebody being destroyed by the enemy, family members with alcohol or whatever, fill in the blank, you know. I know so many believers that suffer clinical depression that they are robbed. If that is the case, get help. Get help, whether it's go to the doctor, get prayer, read your word, stop believing lies, whatever you need to do, do it. Ask somebody, get some help. You know, there's no reason in our nation that anyone should suffer that type of black hole depression because there is help available. Now, if I was in Africa and I was depressed clinically, the only resource I would have would be to pray. And guess what? Over there, it works. Over here, because we have all this other stuff available, it's not the same. We don't see signs and wonders like you do in China, Africa, and other places. We don't have God visiting us in our dreams like Barat did, or, you know, all these Muslims that are, Jesus is just appearing in their dreams. It just doesn't happen here. We have a different kind of warfare. The devil is very subtle here. He uses a lot of finesse so that it appeals to our American way of life. And sooner or later, we can be really robbed and ripped off, you know. So we have to be careful of those things. Now, let me just say as a side note, if you are clinically depressed, I am not condemning you. I suggest you get medical treatment first, and then go from there. But I don't like to see people suffer. And some people do suffer on and off with it. I get it. Because, like for me, anxiety runs in my family. Almost every person in my family has anxiety. And we have anxiety attacks. And you know what? When I grew up, I thought it was normal to live feeling in dread of the other shooter drop. And I find out years later in the Lord, that is not a normal way of living. And so guess what? I went to the doctor and I got help. And especially if you go through some severe trauma, like when I had my cancer, your body goes through so much that you use up all your serotonin, which is what gives you that, you know, level balanced feeling about life. And because of the sickness, you know, your body gets depleted of it. And so, you know what? You need serotonin supplemented by virtue of medication for a while. It doesn't mean you have to live in that, you know, being treated all that long. It just depends on, look, if it's not working for you, if going to Bible study, going to church, and you still are white knuckling it, I would say it's not going to hurt you to go to the doctor. That's just me. And that is my opinion. I know God can do whatever he wants to do. I know he can deliver But the people that get delivered to that kind of stuff are the people that are desperate and totally radical in surrendering to the Lord. Okay, enough said about that. Again, those sores are meant to destroy the inner organs. When we have situations and circumstances, it affects our outward life, but it can injure our internal life. It can injure our souls, right? How many of us have been wounded over our lives? It happens all the time. The devil knows. He has sown things in your life, whether it's fear. Rejection is a big one. Okay, you get rejected by your parents, and then you get rejected in your school, and then circumstances line up where it feels like you're being rejected, and it's reinforced over and over and over again. And finally, you are bound to a spirit of rejection. Or how about self-rejection? Those are the people that injure themselves because they're in pain. You know, whether it's emotional pain or psychological pain, you know, that's when people turn to self-injury, drink, and so on and so forth. And so you deal with the root, the pain, and you really, really need to persevere in prayer for those things, because once it becomes a stronghold, it's very much harder to penetrate and get free from, right? Okay, so prayer is our expression of unity and relationship with the love of God. Prayer is not just saying words, not just saying nice flowery words. Prayer is from the heart. And God is a dialogical God. In other words, he is a God who dialogues with us. So prayer isn't just speaking. It's also listening. Prayer isn't just giving. It's also receiving. So when we are staying connected with the Word of God and we see that things are not happening the way that we thought they would be or in the time frame we thought they would be, just be encouraged. There will be fruit in due season. God will always answer prayer, always. He may say yes, he may say no, and most of the time he says wait. And that's where perseverance comes in, and that's where hope comes in, and that's where faith comes in. And remember what we read about faith, above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So if you can just imagine when you're in a situation that you have this 2.5 by 4.5 foot shield about you, and that right alongside, all in front of it, it says faith, 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 and you use that, you can thwart off all the fiery darts of the enemy and be protected. So there's this really cool song that I love so much, and I don't even remember. I think it's William McDowell, and it's rain only matters for those who have seed in the ground. And it's and in part of the song it says, we are praying, we are sowing, now we're crying, Lord, send the rain. Amen.